Blog Talk Radio.
Racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this. And it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counters. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
And you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. Now, the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, Today, many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses?
Well, to move on out of it for a moment. Martin's very rare, very great man.
That's Dr. Martin Luther King. We talking about race hate, and it's still going on. We already talking about where we at financially, and where we at economically in your household. Right now, everything is up high. We're fighting, but we're not fighting together. I told you last year that there would be a reverse happening. The shooting of the police. It's happening. There's so many guns out here. Here's a man shoot a man 16 times, he get 3 years, he out. Because he's a policeman. And we silent to that. We silent. What I'm saying to you tonight, in the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, in the spirit of truth and love. Dr. King brought it out. I can't say it no eloquent. That Dr. King said back, the government, the Congress gave white folks privilege to land, gave them schools. They're doing it all over again. Now they got people coming over here from other countries. They're getting more than the blacks get. They're getting food stamps. They're getting somewhere to stay. They're getting money from the government. These are our taxpayer money that we can't get none. Okay? We're still fighting for crumbs. This is stuff that's going on. And what's happening throughout the world, racism and white supremacy. Now, my thing is, we're fighting for justice, and we're fighting for human rights, rights to live, right to stand, right to be a woman, right to be a man, the right for your children to go to school, the right for education. Our education system have failed our children. Our police department have failed our community. You tell me you have 10 murders, you don't get nobody. You get 5 stores robbed every night, the same stores, and then nobody get caught. Something wrong with that picture. Something ain't right at the top. And you tell me you can't find all the guns, who buying the guns, who's selling the guns. You can buy a gun quicker than you can buy a McDonald's hamburger. You can buy a gun quicker than you can go downtown to register the vote. That's how many guns out here. We have kids 12 and 13 and 14 jacking people with guns. I know it. How come the police don't know it? Time they get in jail, they let them back out. They do the same thing over and over. Police caught 5 of them. The judge let them all go. Hey, I don't care if you got a pistol on a person, you need to get some time. And that's what happened. Okay. So what I'm saying tonight, not here in Chicago, all over the country, this is happening over and over. This kind of stuff is happening. Tonight, I'm praying for you, them that want prayer on Sunday. I want you to give me your name. I already got you on there. I got you on there, them that want prayer. And the young lady's going to be reading the prayer list off every Sunday. And I can get your name for the prayer list. I got your name on the prayer list, Mary Scott. Mary Hawkins, I got your name. Pearl William, I got your name on the prayer list already. Because I know y'all call all the time, so I want your name to be read off every Sunday for prayer. Because prayer changes that. You can't change nothing, prayer changes. And the young lady's going to be reading the prayer list off. She did a marvelous job. I got so many calls about her reading what she read. She was so articulate and so direct. And that voice, that melodious voice, really, everybody calls her, who's that reading? About the prophecy, okay? And she's going to be reading the prayer list, you know, and as she reads the prayer list, I'll be praying, or somebody else will be praying, she'll be reading the prayer list. And her voice was so captivated, okay? The wages of sin is death, the gift of God, the doctrine of sin movement. Everybody talking about the 16 shots, and you know what? Ron Manion got to be, he's an ambassador, okay? Shouldn't have been, but he made it. Because blacks in the leadership don't stand up. Here's a white policeman, shoot a citizen 16 times, do less than 3 years, he coming out, and the powers that be don't want to file no federal charges on him, okay? So something wrong with the mentality of our leadership. The alderman, the mayor, is something wrong with the leadership. You know, 2 or 3 people protesting, it should be thousands out there protesting, saying enough is enough. But I want to say it tonight, in the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, King was murdered because of a corrupt system, and he was murdered, and like so many other black leaders been murdered, and ain't nobody said nothing about it. They just said a young lady jumped off the balcony and killed herself. Black's okay with that. I don't believe that. Something happened. Whitney Houston pulled a drown in a tub of water. I don't believe that. the boys that killed Malcolm. Police know that these boys didn't kill Malcolm, but put him in prison. Black is okay with negative stuff. Michael Jackson was murdered. They okay with that. Prince was murdered. These young men were millionaires. They got to get them out the way, because if they change and want to give money to the movement, the white supremacists is in trouble. You hear what Trump said in Texas? If I be president again, I'm going to let everybody out that marched on the White House. He didn't say I was going to let all these innocent blacks in jail for life. Larry Hoover in jail for life. Jeff Ford in prison for life. What did they do to get life? A corrupt system, because they were leaders in the black community. Oh, y'all ain't gonna pray with me. When the death came, when the contract came to kill Jeff, when the contract came to kill Larry Hoover, and the contract came to kill Fred Hampton, they got Fred, but they couldn't get Jeff. They couldn't get Fred. They got Fred Hampton. They couldn't get Larry, because Larry had his army. Jeff had his army around him. But the hit from Ever Amahan was to kill Jeff Ford, to kill Larry Hoover, and to kill. They did that. They killed Fred Hampton. They did that. The system did it. But ain't nobody said nothing about that. I want to thank God for the West Side Organization, Chester Robinson, and all the West Side Organization that stood to fight prison reform. The death of Dr. King come all the way out of Washington. It wasn't no one man killed Dr. King. It wasn't no one man killed John F. Kennedy. It was a concerted effort to stop the growth of blacks. Now, the man that killed Robert Kennedy, they want to let him out of jail. But here's Larry Hoover in jail, ain't did nothing. But check the record. Ain't nobody fighting for them. Okay, you see what I'm saying? What I'm saying, we in a corrupt system. White supremacy is racism. Here's two white boys, they want to let them out. They killed a black man, shot him like he was a dog. They want to let them out. What I'm saying tonight, white supremacist racism is real in our education system, in our school system, in our college system, in our entertainment system, in all that they control. Like Dr. King said, the government put all these guns out here, all this dope out here. There's more people die, not gunshots, not of COVID-19, of the opiate drug that's out here. More people die. Over 2,000 die a month on the drugs. You gotta hear what I'm saying this morning. What I'm saying, racism, white supremacy is real in America. Dr. King said it, Malcolm said it. And those that don't see it, something wrong with them. Now, this Monday is the Dr. Martin Luther King movement. We talk about civil rights. We talk about human rights. We talk about right to be a man, the right to be a woman, your human rights. All over the world, right now, all over the world, we're running into a problem. We're running into a problem of being together. Dr. King was eloquent. Dr. King said it, and it's still real today. We have not got what we pulled to get. What about reparation? Ain't nobody said nothing about putting a black woman on the Supreme Court. That should have been 10 years ago. What a black woman going to do in the Supreme Court when blacks can get reparations? Give me what you owe my grandparents. They slaved in America. They built New York, built Chicago, built Washington, D.C. We ain't got paid yet. Ain't nobody talked about that. Look what happened. And blacks don't want, no, blacks are so naive. They don't want to talk about what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That didn't happen. Because the white folks said it didn't happen. But baby, it happened. Right now, they got a bill where when blacks talk about what happened to them, it make white folks uncomfortable. So get uncomfortable because you're a murderer. Get uncomfortable because you're a killer. Get uncomfortable because you're lying and been lying. So I'm like, you uncomfortable. You done killed my mama, my great-grandma, and still took all the stuff. But you uncomfortable when it's brought up. Woo, let me leave this stuff alone. It's stuff to make a man turn black. This is the kind of stuff that go on. And you go along with this him. Biden got to do more, because let me tell you something. Biden, when he got in, it wasn't for his base. His base wasn't white. His base was black. Trump base was white. They couldn't pull it. We pulled it, okay? So he owed the black community reparation. He owed the black community some one judge up there. That ain't enough. We need reparation. We need jobs. We need for this food to go down. We need for gas to go down. That's what we're talking about. That's what needs to happen. Dr. King said that when a man stand up, they can't ride your back. And I want to tell you, your back rope like the war between Russia, two superpowers fighting over power. Who going to make the money off the war? The rich folks. The guns, the tanks, the bullets. One plane costs $1 trillion. It dropped in the sea. Who money that is? Taxpayers' money. That's your money and my money. I want to say tonight, God bless you. Keep Dr. King's dream alive by being active. Now, you can write letters to your congressman, or you can get out there and march. Jesse is marching Thursday. I might go down there and march with him. Not because I'm marching, because it's wrong to shoot somebody 16 times and you don't spend a year in jail. It's time for the black seniors to wake up. You got to go down in the wheelchair. Go on down in the wheelchair. It's time for black women to wake up. It's time for black men to wake up. I have a baby being killed on the streets of Chicago. The girl got killed in Pilsen. Let me tell you the story about that. People bringing people from Mexico to get this here, $550 that Biden giving out. They're going to stack the debt with so many people to come in, getting their money. They had a white couple to adopt 10 black kids. Or they ain't love the black people. They're loving the money that they can get off each one of them. Wake up, black people. Wake up, black woman. Wake up, black man. Stop the killing, save the babies. That's all I'm going to say. Stop the killing, save the. When you do that, we can overcome all this stuff that's going on.
He's got the whole world in his head. He's got his whole world. Right in his head. He's got his whole world. Right in his head. He's got the whole.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become
that we shall overcome. And the only way we can overcome is standing up. Now, I would tell those people driving the bus for the city, you need to take off. You need to take off just in solidarity. We're going to take off. We're not going to drive buses today. We need to shut it down. And the lawyers, the black lawyers, need to get involved and see why the civil rights charges have not been charged in this city. Blacks have been shot down in Chicago. Nothing been done. Blacks locked up in jail. Nothing been done. Policemen got by with murder two or three different times. Guys right now is in jail for police lying on them. Right now. People started coming out of state bill lying. And right now the brothers in jail, some of them got the COVID. And ain't nobody seeing about them. They're going to die in jail because the system won't send them to jail to die. That's some of the stuff that's going on. Get ready for a spiritual breakthrough. Get ready for a door to open up for you. Because seriously, a door will open up for you quick, fast. And then I want you to, don't forget, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, on Monday night, Dr. King Movement, you get ready to go into what we do, Dr. King Movement. And on Mondays, if Dr. King Movement, we talk about civil rights, come out, where's the movement? Dr. King was about feeding the hungry, jobless person, and help them that are homeless. And we still got people homeless, sleeping on the bridge. The richest country in the world, in Chicago, there's a white population, there's a black population. There's the rich and there's the poor. And it's still going on. And some of you race out. You don't come back to help those that are less fortunate than you. Doctors, teachers, bloggers. We have to get on page. Can't no one people. All of us have to be together. Stop the killing. Save the babies. Our babies are being killed. Our mothers being robbed. Two young ladies got killed. Ain't nobody said nothing. If we don't say nothing, who's going to say something? We will overcome. I believe Dr. King's word. It's just a matter of time.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay,
I can't. I'll hallelujah. Don't go. Get that name. This, you have to go back to what young brother here referred to as the house Negro and the field Negro back during slavery. There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food because he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master said, "We got a good house here," the house Negro said, "Yeah, we got a good house here." Whenever the master said "we," he said "we." That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, "What's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick." He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, "Let's run away. Let's escape. Let's separate," that house Negro would look at you and say, "Man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this?" That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay three times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. and then brag about I'm the only Negro out here.
I'm the only one on my job. I'm the only one in this school. You're nothing but a house Negro. And if someone come to you right now and say, let's separate, you say the same thing that the house Negro said on the plantation. What you mean, separate? From America? This good white man? Where you gonna get a better job than you get here? I mean, this is what you say. I ain't left nothing in Africa. That's what you say. Why, you left your mind in Africa. On that same plantation, there was the field Negro. The field Negro, those were the masters. There was always more Negroes in the field than there was Negroes in the house. The Negro in the field caught hell. He ate leftovers. In the house, they ate high up on the hog. The Negro in the field didn't get nothing but what was left of the insides of the hog. They call them chitlins nowadays. In those days, they call them what they were, guts. That's what you were, a gut eater. And some of you are still gut eaters. The field Negro was beaten from morning till night. He lived in a shack, in a hut. He wore cast-off clothes. And he hated his master. I say he hated his master. He was intelligent. That house Negro loved his master. But that field Negro, remember, they were in the majority. And they hated the master. When the house caught on fire, he didn't try and put it out. That field Negro prayed for a wind, for a breeze. When the master got sick, the field Negro prayed that he died. If someone come to the field Negro and said, let's separate, let's run, he didn't say, where are we going? He said, any place is better than here. You got field Negroes in America today. I'm a field Negro. The masters are the field Negroes. When they see this man's house on fire, you don't hear these little Negroes talking about our government is in trouble. They say the government is in trouble.
I see trees of green. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the skies, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, say, watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.